Good morning. Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Peter. And we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2. I imagine if I took a quiz and asked you what I preached about last time, you could tell me, right? But we're going to be there. We're going to be taking off from that same place as I did when I was here. We're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 11 to 17 and verses 18 to 25. The last time I was here, we looked at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, and we saw that our Christian lives were to be beautiful lives on this earth, that we were to live beautiful lives, attractive lives, pointing people to the glory of God and to His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, this morning and tonight, we are going to look at two areas of our lives where Peter addresses how we are to live that beautiful life. And when we have the opportunity to live that beautiful, attractive life here on earth, pointing people to Jesus Christ. So we're going to read now from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 to 17, and then we're going to jump over to verses 18 to 25. And the reason we're doing that is because the verses in between those two passages are what we're going to be dealing with tonight. And so we'll go back there tonight. This is God's holy and inspired word. Please pay special and close attention. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll start in verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or as governors, as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. And now let's jump down. Well, we'll read, I said 18 to 25. Actually, we're going to start at verse 21. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Let's pray. Holy Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for your word, which you have given to us to show us what we are to know about you, how we are to love you, how we are to live before you, and how we are to love one another. Lord, as we hear your word preached, we ask that you would speak to us. We ask, Lord, that you would use your word and your spirit to bring strength, to confirm our faith, to convict of sin, and to teach us, Lord, how we are to live in righteousness before you. And we ask, Lord, that you would do all these things for your glory and for the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may point others to him and you be glorified by that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Authority. You may not remember it, but from your earliest days of life, you have struggled with it. Authority is a struggle in everybody's life. And you know that because you see it even in your own children. Or if you don't see your own children struggling with your authority, maybe you see it in other people's children. You see other people's children struggling with their parents' authority. In fact, it was authority that was at the basis of Adam and Eve's first sin, as they rejected God's authority over them. And as Adam and Eve rejected God's authority, so do our children at a very early age reject our authority over them, and even as adults. The temptation to reject authority still lies with us, and we still face it at various times. And it is part of the sin nature. Man, by his nature, wants to be his own ruler, his own king, his own God. He wants to do things his way. And this is at the heart of our sin even today, that we as believers, those who have been born again by the mercy of God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, even we as believers still struggle with the sin nature and also then do also struggle with authority. Especially at times when that authority is not necessarily good in its character or Christian. We struggle with those things at times. But when we are born again, we have been made new creatures in Christ, and we have new hearts, new wills, and new desires, and a new love for God. And so that changes things. That changes how we look at our authorities. It becomes our desire to do God's will, not only our duty, but our love for Him, our heart's desire, and yet because of the sin nature, we still struggle even with God's authority. And as already been read this morning from Romans chapter 13, God has placed authorities in this life over us. And so thereby, God is proclaiming that those authorities, in a very real sense, speak for Him. Well, Peter is going to continue to disciple us this morning and teach us God's will for our daily lives by giving us situations that we face in our daily living as sojourners in this world. And one of the things that I would like to remind you from verse 11 is he says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners," meaning this is about living life right here, right now. We have sung songs this morning already that talk about how we want to exalt God and to glorify God in our worship, in our words. But it cannot stop there. It must go on into our daily lives. Where we are living and where we are working, in our communities and where we have our families and so forth. And one way that we live that beautiful, attractive life, that life that is to point people to God's glory, is to submit to the civil authorities or other authorities appointed over us. That is one of the ways that we bring glory to God. That is one of the ways that we point people to Jesus Christ. Because in Peter's day and in our day, submitting to civil authorities is not an easy thing to do. And so when you do it, and when you do it with a right heart, you are going to shine like a star in a crooked universe. Now, I want to remind you of the context of the time that Peter is writing this letter to this original audience. He was writing at a time of the Emperor Nero, who would eventually, if he's not already at some point, begin to persecute to the point of death God's people. This is the ruler that Peter is challenging his readers to submit to. To be humble and submit themselves to a ruler who's not only against them, but is against Christ and against God and all His people. So the command to obey rulers who are appointed over us is not given to these people in the best of times. It is really a challenge. Peter himself would come to be persecuted unto death under this reign of this ruler. And so in our day, we don't decide to obey the governing authorities based on their goodness Or if our guy is president, or if our political party is the one in charge, we obey our civil authorities because God is in charge. We have sung that already this morning, that He is the ruler, He is the king. We have read already this morning that He is the one who has appointed these civil rulers over us. And in these psalms that we have sang this morning, we have also been called to trust God, and we will not be ashamed. And so my challenge to you this morning is that when we have these civil authorities who are over us, that in obeying them, even when it's difficult, we are trusting the one who has overall authority, and that is God Himself. Well, Peter continues to strengthen us, his brothers and sisters, by teaching us here in verse 13 that we have read, that we are to humbly obey all civil government for the Lord's sake. To humbly obey. This calls us to a greater obedience than just external things. It puts the way you live in this world into a context that is bigger than laws and legal things and politicians and governors. It's bigger than that. You are to obey these civil authorities, not because they have power, not because they are exerting power over you, and not because of the threat of punishment, but Peter says, do it for the Lord's sake. That's bigger than this world will ever know about. You see, obedience for the Lord's sake is for His glory, for His name, and for His purposes. Your obedience is your testimony to the life-changing power of God through Jesus Christ that you have experienced. I know that we've all probably seen, it kind of makes you laugh, but unfortunately it's not that funny, when somebody is driving and they pass you by, and you're going the speed limit, and they're going 10, 15 miles over the speed limit, and they have some bumper sticker on there that gives testimony of their faith in God. Now, that to us, we may say, wow, look at that, but what does it say to the world? It says to the world that I don't have to obey civil laws. It says to the world, it says something that is not true, is not scripturally true. You see, it is man's nature to be rebellious. It is a man's nature to shake off any cords that bind him. But for those of you who have been born again by the power and mercy of God, and you have this new nature, a nature that seeks to live a life pleasing to God, to bring Him glory. That's the bigness of what God is calling you to do. And when He calls you to live humbly under those who have been appointed over you for His sake, that's a bigger calling. But it's not only to obey those over you, but to respect them in their authority. Because you and I, like the world, can obey civil government in a way that's only external. We can obey our rulers who have been appointed over us only when they're looking. That is not what God is calling us to do. To be subject to authorities for the Lord's sake cannot be done just from external obedience. Your obedience to civil authorities is obedience to God, and it is to come from your heart. It is to come from a heart's desire to glorify God. You've probably all heard about the child who, having disobeyed his parents, his parents said to him, you're going to have time out. You're going to sit in that chair for 30 minutes. And that young child looked up at his parents and said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but on the inside, I am standing up. Oftentimes, that is our position. That on the outside, we are obeying the civil authorities and maybe even thinking that we are obeying God in that way, but God looks on the heart. So when God tells us to submit to civil authorities, to submit to those human institutions, He's calling us to submit to Him
And that always involves humility in the heart. Recognizing that God is King and that God is over all things and He has appointed these people to be over us for our good. To submit humbly for the Lord's sake is to do it from a right heart. We must keep our eye on our main goal in life, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Obeying to only avoid punishment or only when man is looking is not obeying for the Lord's sake. It is obeying for your sake, that you might not suffer punishment from the civil authorities. But you as a Christian are called to a higher calling, an obedience that is humble and submitting to God, both in the external, what you do on the outside, and with a right heart's attitude. That is the calling that God brings to us. God does not accept, in any situation, heartless obedience. So we have to ask ourselves this question: what is our attitude towards those who have been appointed over us? And that could mean anything from parents to teachers, professors, elders in the church, civil government. Here Peter points out specifically civil government, but the principle applies in every situation that you find yourself in where you have somebody over you who has a God-ordained appointed position, that you are to humbly subject yourself to them for the Lord's sake. And so when we are tempted to do something against the law of man, remember, God is calling you to submit yourself to Him and thereby submit yourself to them and follow Him in a humble way. Submit yourself to those governing authorities. Secondly, you are to humbly obey civil authorities for the Lord's sake because it is God's gift to you. And that's what we see here in verse 14. He tells us, or to governors as sent by Him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. You see, both Peter and Paul, as Paul wrote in Romans 13, they are both saying that the civil authority has been put in place not by man, but by God and for your good. For your good. And I think we could all say that we are glad that government is in place, that there are civil authorities in place. Can you imagine a society where there is no kind of government, where there is no kind of authority, where there is no threat of punishment for those who do evil? You don't really have to imagine it because you can see a little picture of it. Even sometimes when you're in the grocery store and you see a child acting up, disobeying their parents, and their parents do nothing about it. That's just a little picture of what our society would be like if God had not given to us the gift of civil government and authority. That would be chaos, anarchy, and everyone doing what is right in their own eyes. And you would have no protection from those doing evil. Because God has given us the gift, because He's given us the gift of civil authority, we have a reasonable expectation to live lives of peace. Because I know that there is a boundary between my property and the property of my neighbor, because I know that he knows that, and I know that he knows that I know it, we can live in peace with each other. That's just one little example. But if that boundary were not there and were not established, then either one of us could choose to encroach upon each other and not be living in peace. You can expect to own property, to run a business, enjoy life with your family and friends, and to be able to worship God in peace, all because God has set up civil authorities to be a blessing to you and other people. Well, that's good. That's great. We can appreciate that. We can thank God for that. But the implication for that upon your life is
that you become part of that blessing from God to other people when you humbly submit yourself to civil authorities for the Lord's sake. You become part of that gift to your community, to your neighborhood, to your state, and to your nation when you humbly submit yourself for the Lord's sake. But then on the other hand, if you don't do that, you become part of the problem. You become part of what these other half of the civil authorities have to do, and that is to bring punishment. But as you live a life of humble submission to civil authorities for the Lord's sake, you are living that beautiful, attractive life. You are living a life that brings glory to God when you do it with a humble heart, submitting to God. And not only do you benefit from this gift of civil government, not only are you a part of the benefit to others, but you also, when you are humbly submitting to God, to the civil authority for His sake, you also are stopping foolish and ignorant thinking and talking. Verse 15 tells us, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people." Your humble obedience to civil authorities for the Lord's sake will stop foolish ignorance. In your humble obedience, you remove legitimate or substantive cause for people to think or speak foolishly about Christ's people. We should not be giving the world cause to speak foolish and ignorantly about us. You remove any substance to accusations that you as a Christian are a lawbreaker and bringing shame to the name of Christ and to His people. You remove any ideas that Christians believe they are above the law because they are serving God as their king. There are some Christians who take that position. You remove that ignorance that slanders not only Christians, but also the very God that we follow. Let us not give cause to the world to slander our God. Your humble obedience not only silences foolish people, but it informs them of the power of God. Humble, obedient, law-abiding Christians, that is what Peter is calling for here. And remember, he's calling for it in a time when it's not easy to be a Christian. He's calling for it in a time when Christians are being persecuted to some degree. And as they read this letter, and years after they read this letter, the persecution historically is going to increase. And so if we are living today in a land, and we are, where we do suffer to some degree some forms of persecution, we are still like these people in the original audience being called to live this humble, beautiful life, to put away their foolish thinking. Your obedience sets the story straight. Christians are not against the state. And that was one of the thoughts that they had back then, that these people who now are raising up and worshiping a new God, they must be against the state. Because the state is God. Nero is God. The ruler, the emperor, is God. And for someone to be raised up and now forming a new religion in their eyes, they must be against the state. That we as Christians are not against the state. We are to support the state and see the state as a gift from God, as a means for God to glorify Himself. Even as I'm speaking those words, that we are to support the state, it sounds almost odd to say that when you say the words "the state." But what we need to realize is it is these civil authorities that God has appointed. Though some of them are immoral and bad in character, we are still called to submit ourselves to them. The Bible says here we are called to do good, which is another way of saying obey the civil authorities. Keep your conduct honorable when it comes to civil life. The Westminster Confession of Faith in chapter 23 on civil authorities summarizes this Bible teaching by saying this: God, the supreme Lord and King of all the world, has ordained civil magistrates to be under Him, over the people, for His own glory and the public good. And to this end has armed them with the power of the sword for the defense and encouragement of them that are good and for the punishment of evildoers. By your humble obedience, you take away the legitimacy of the world to say, look at those Christians. They claim to follow God, but they're lawbreakers. Jesus himself recognized Pilate had authority over him. When he was on his way to the cross, he said to Pilate, "You have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above." Here is Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, and for his role while he was here on earth, submitting to those who had been given authority, submitting to those who were even against him. There was no substance to the accusations made against Jesus as one causing rebellion, as they stated. Even he, to the point of death, was subject to these earthly rulers, though he could have rebelled against them. In the name of God, he didn't. He suffered the injustices. Why? For the Lord's sake. Fourthly, you see that your humble obedience to civil authorities for the Lord's sake is an act of freedom. And we see this in verse 16. Peter says, "Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God." What Peter is saying here may seem like a paradox. Live free as a servant. Live free as a slave. Well, how does one live free as a slave? By submitting oneself to God to follow His Word. You are free from slavery to sin, but you are not free from obedience. You have been made free to obey. To obey with a humble heart. Once you could not obey the Word of God, you were not capable because you were slaves to sin. But now Peter is reminding us that we have been made free men. We are free from being slaves to sin, and now we are slaves to righteousness. Yet even today there are people professing to be Christians who do not think that they must follow the law. They think they are free to do anything because Christ has made them free. And what they don't understand is that Christ has made them free to be able to humbly submit for the Lord's sake. Christ has made them free from this kind of thinking that says, I don't have to submit to civil authorities. Some might say, Christ is my king, I don't need to serve unrighteous man. But as we have already read, to obey the civil magistrate is to obey God. It is to obey your King Jesus because that is what He has called you to do. And freedom in Christ is not an excuse for disobedience, but a call for total submission to God, including those whom He has appointed over us. We are to live free, serving God. And God has given us a new life, a new heart, one that seeks to do His will. He has made us free from slavery to sin, to be free to serve Him. Christians should be the best citizens in the world. Now that does not mean that we are to obey man's law as the supreme law. We see in Scripture several places where when man's law goes against God's law, God calls His people to obey Him rather than men. And I'll just give you two. In the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, the king, where Daniel was in captivity, was tricked into making a decree that called all the people for 30 days to worship him and him only, to only pray to him. All prayers must be made towards the king. Daniel would not only obey that for 30 days, he wouldn't obey it for 30 seconds. Daniel 6:10 tells us that once Daniel heard this decree was signed, he went to his room and he prayed to God.
And so when man's law clearly goes against God's law is supreme, and we are to follow God's law. We see this also in the New Testament in Acts 4 and 5, where Peter and John were ordered by the religious authorities of the day to not speak in the name of Jesus Christ. And they responded to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of Christ what we have seen and heard." And when they threatened them again, they said, "We must obey God rather than men." Even in our day, there are many Christians who sit in prisons because they are preaching the gospel of Christ against the laws of their country. We must obey God's law at all times, and we must obey man's law as long as it does not go against God's law. If man's law does not cause you to sin against God, then you are called to obey that law. In verse 17, Peter sums up how we are to live in all our relationships. We are called to show honor to all people. Why? Because all are image bearers to God. Then we have a special obligation to those in Christ to love the brotherhood. Verse 17 says, "Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor." Peter comes right back around and says, "Honor the emperor. Honor this wicked, murderous, Christian persecuting emperor. Give honor. Because in honoring him, you're honoring God who has put him in that spot for that time." So we have some questions to consider. What is my attitude towards civil authorities? What is my heart's attitude towards civil authorities? Because if my heart is not right about this in understanding God's word, I will not be able to live a beautiful life. I'll not be able to trust God to take care of me even when I must submit to civil authorities. So what is our heart's attitude? Do I obey the law as unto the Lord from the heart and externally? And do I respect the officers of those in authority? This does not mean that we condone their immoral practices or even their policies. But unless they call you to sin against God, God calls you to obey them. And this is the practical picture of a beautiful, honorable life that points people to the glory of God. Let me just close by saying, I was not part of this conversation that I heard recently. I was not the one talking to this person, but I heard two people discussing, jokingly laughing about one person's action where he would not pay a parking fee when he went to park in the city because it was just too much money. And so he was just going to take his chances. If he got a ticket, he did. If he didn't, he did. But he refused to pay that parking fee. As I heard this conversation, it was just this past week, you can imagine what my mind was thinking and connecting to what I'm preparing to preach. But that was not beautiful. And that's just a little thing, you say, preacher. Such a little thing. But I suspect it is the little things that we rationalize and say, that's not a big deal. I suspect that you are not going around stealing from your neighbor. I suspect that you are not going around and raising up in rebellion against your government. But it is those little things that creep in, like foxes. They creep in and destroy. So let's take a look at the little things in our life in regards to civil authorities and see where God would change our behavior. For we are called to live this beautiful life. And as verse 21 tells us, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in his steps." That's our calling, to follow Christ As he submitted, we also are to submit to civil authorities, to those authorities in our life. May God give us strength and power and a heart to humbly submit for his sake to civil authorities. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we do come to you now, Lord, seeking your aid and your help. To help us, Lord, to obey you as we obey those appointed over us. Lord, we also do come confessing our sin. That there are times that we don't think it matters. Lord, help us to get the bigger picture. That every step that we take, everything that we do in this life, we are testifying about you and your life-changing power. Help us, Lord, to seek to live a beautiful, honorable life that we may point others to you and your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's respond to God in